This episode is brought to you by listeners like you. Head on over to patreon.com/TMS and consider supporting the show today.
Hardcore Pern.
Hardcore Pern. Coming up on TMS, too much mac and cheese.
The wives are out.
How much for the old burger?
Incredibles 2, doing just fine.
Kicking you out of your own pool.
Aw, Rocket Man signed in everything.
Major spoilers.
Trek Nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
International Rescue? What is this?
That must be the aircraft I just picked up.
This I must see.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
A drug, and it's called The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. What was wrong with that? Got a little stuck button there. Good stuff. Welcome back to TMS. It is Monday, July 9th, 2018. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Good morning.
That's right. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Oh, I don't know yet, dude. I don't know yet. It's been a rough morning so far, if I'm going to be honest.
Already been a rough morning?
Yeah, a little bit. Hasn't been great. I had to get up at 4:30 because my wife's going to a week-long girls' camp where she is in charge of all the food for some up to 200-and-something people, which includes, I guess, the other counselors and stuff.
This sounds like a job for Uber.
Uber Kim is what it sounds like. So we had to get up at that
early. No, I mean getting Kim to the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. This sounds like a job for Uber.
No, we didn't do... There's no airport. It's just a camp up the canyon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
She doesn't... She's not flying to a camp to provide food. No,
camp
she,
flying.
She drew up...
That's right.
Drove up to the camp with a car full of food. And...
That's right. We talked about the sous vide stuff that she made, right? The
sous vide chicken, grilled chicken, yeah.
Sous vide chicken,
that's right.
What
that was for. So big bags of that. She found a solution. Okay, now you and I would have gone, you know what? We're not taking 20 dozen eggs up in shell form. We're going to go get the what do you call that? The beaters? We're going to do the beaters.
Right. Well, I don't know if I would have done that, but I would have gotten... I would have probably cooked the eggs, put them in a big one of those foil containers, those foil bins, covered them up, and then reheated them in the morning you want to cook them or the morning you want to serve them.
That's actually not too bad, although she has some fancy plans for the eggs, and so instead, and I put a picture up on Twitter of this, people can see it, it looks like some kind of alien hominid or something, but it's she took these things that normally you put like powdered sugar or flour in, they're like those kind of containers you'd have on a pantry, yeah, you pull it out, scoop stuff out of. She has like nine of these things or whatever it is. I don't know how many there were, but she cracked 20 dozen eggs all by hand and filled up these things full of liquid egg yolk and the whatever the other part is, white.
Gotcha. The whites.
Yeah. So you got these big jar things.
Okay, so she did crack them at least. She didn't keep them in shell form. Like
she couldn't. If she would, she wouldn't have room. There was no room.
They wouldn't make it, yeah.
Yeah, or they'd break, exactly. So she has these all in coolers now. 20 dozen eggs. I don't know how many eggs that is. What is that? 20 times 12. I can't do the math.
That'd be 240.
240 eggs. Plenty for what she's doing. Then she's got all sorts of kind of bacony things and then lunch things and dinner things, some kind of big smulty stew deal she's going to make. She's doing this completely on her own. She has no assistance. It's just her. And I think she's crazy. So 4:30 this morning, we're loading the car, getting her out the door, and then she had to go to some other place where a freezer was waiting for full of fat boys for one of the dinner desserts. So she had
were they about to sing Surfing USA? What was the...
What was their deal? They had some kind of crossover
they
song.
They did a cover of Beach Boys, something Beach Boys. What was it? Fat Boys did?
I don't remember.
Good Vibrations?
Was it Good Vibrations?
That seems right, I think.
Maybe. And they'd break in. It was their attempt to do like the
Wipeout. That's right. It wasn't a
Wipeout?
It wasn't Beach Boys at all. It was a Wipeout.
Okay. Same era, same kind of thing. But they were trying to play up that whole thing like Steve Tyler did with Run DMC, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's exactly what they're trying. Like, I don't think they did it with they didn't do it with the Safaris. It was their own deal.
Marky Mark did a Good Vibrations mashup song? What?
That's right. Marky Mark did. You mean a cover, Scott?
That's what I mean, cover. Yeah. doesn't sound good at all. I didn't know that was a thing that existed. Anyway.
Yeah.
So she's gone. She doesn't get home till Friday. And as a result, I just feel crappy today. Just kind of meh.
Aww.
Partly because on Saturday, we found out that the Break over here by us is like a bar/bistro place. Redid their whole menu. And in addition to their menu, they used to have two kinds of mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. Now they have like 12 kinds of mac and cheese, and it's all
so
super
gourmet.
So they are
gourmet. A mac and cheese specialist.
Big time.
Restaurant.
So like lobster in there for one of them. One of them's called Surf and Turf. It's got steak and some kind of seafood in it. It's all good. Like really gourmet, awesome. Like there's a reason they put it on the menu. They've got somebody over there that's really good at making the custom mac and cheese kind of business. So we got that on Saturday, or I should say Kim got it, brought it home. And the kids are eating it and all that. And I got done with There Will Be Dungeons. And I thought, boy, I'm a little peckish. I could sure go for something. Mm-hmm. No one's there to stop me when I see big vats of mac and cheese. And I just go, oh, my gosh, I'm going to eat everything I see. I ate so much mac and cheese that I spent most of Sunday morning in bed with a freaking stomachache from all the mac and cheese I ate.
Oh, dude. Carbo load city. Now, you say no one's there to stop you. There's one person there to stop you, Scott.
Kim was there.
And it's you.
Kids
and
were there.
You.
Everybody was there. But you're right. At the end of the day, it comes down to me choosing, right?
That's right.
And
exactly.
I couldn't do it.
Only
I just
you can prevent mac and cheese overindulgence.
It was so good, though. I mean, super bloaty, but so good. And I don't regret it that much. I mean, a little bit.
It does sound really, really good.
But here's what's funny. When Kim leaves town, I tend to kick it up a notch and do a little better. People all think, oh, I'm eating Doggeritos and crap all week. But I actually do a little bit better. I nail my exercise times. I'm way better at making sure Carter's got the food she wants because she's a vegetarian, so we've got to be a little more picky with her. Like, mm-hmm. I make it so Nick's not eating out every time he gets a dollar in his hand. Like, I actually do a little better while she's gone, but it's usually about Thursday where it's too much. Any more than another day and I'm dead. So we'll see how it goes. Wow. Where's Tina going? Work thing?
Work thing. Yeah, I'm heading down to Albuquerque and El Paso to meet her new team. She is now supervisor and has a team down there in New Mexico.
Yep, still top secret stuff.
Texas.
Still top secret, everybody. Still top secret, right?
Still top secret. That's all I can tell you. I can't tell you any more than that.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. Well, we don't, Brian, we don't want Brian to be killed.
Yeah. That's right.
What else you say happened in Texas? Something you said?
Oh, no, I'm just saying that she's got all of New Mexico and then the corner of Texas. Fortunately, it doesn't have all of Texas, but just the corner.
Oh, okay. So what we can glean from this is she's in a position where she's in charge of an area.
Yes.
Let's call her regional manager.
And a group of people in that area.
Gotcha.
In a region, yes.
Got
she
it.
She manages a region.
Yeah. Stopping all that meth from coming out of New Mexico.
That's right. All that blue crystal.
Mm-mm. Anyway, so that's going on. And, you know, we'll be fine. Brian and I'll be fine.
Exactly. Oh, I have no doubt. I've got a shower soap dish thing to fix. Somehow the soap dish that is built into one of the shower walls in Tristan's bathroom. Well, it's not a mystery how it broke. Tina was cleaning in there, and we have the removable shower head.
Yeah.
And she flopped, pulled it up, and it immediately bounced out of her hand, slipped out of her hand, swung down and cracked this the soap dish, which has been a nice sharp edge in an area where you won't have any clothes to protect yourself, basically. So you can't get too close to it.
Yeah.
And then we've got family coming to stay with us for a week next week. So
busy.
In charge of fixing it.
Busy July is what you got going.
That's
there.
Right. Yeah. Picked up some sealer, picked up some grout. Going to be installing a brand new one of those this week.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, look at you, Mr. Home and Repair Man. You're
going
to tell us how that all goes. I would not attempt any of that. I would probably have my brother-in-law, Steve, do it. He's good at those things, and I'm not.
Might as well, bring in a specialist, bring in a ringer.
We talked about furries last week, only briefly.
We did, yes.
This next note makes me nervous about what you went into, but what happened?
All right, so yesterday was Pokemon Community Day, which is a day they pick every month to unleash multitudes of one specific Pokemon. You give you shiny variations. Today, yesterday, they happened to be sunglass variations of Squirtle.
Yeah.
So Squirtle's all over the place. And because of all of the Pokestops, Old Town Arvada becomes this mecca of Pokemon Go players all running around. Apparently, they had some big event at Washington Park yesterday, too. But we didn't, you know, Gina was heading out to the airport last night, and we just want to spend some time together. So we're like, let's go close, do this for a couple hours, and then get out. And that's about as much as we could take. 95 degree weather. We did an hour, maybe an hour and a half, walked around Old Town Arvada, had a great time, met a bunch of people, you know, got some cookies at the German bakery in Old Town Arvada, this place called Rhinelanders, which is so good.
That sounds good just hearing it.
So good. Yes.
What kind do you get? What do you get there?
We got butterscotch Scotty dogs. So they're like, you know, shaped like little Scotty dogs. And they're frosted cookies. One of them butterscotch, the other one chocolate.
Oh.
And they're so good.
That sounds good. I'd be in huge trouble there. Is anything, there's no like kraut cookies or anything weird like that where they put like sauerkraut on them or anything like that?
Not to my knowledge, no. I mean, it looks like the Great British Bake Off just exploded in there. Because, I mean, they've got everything, the creme pat and the cream puffs and marzipan as far as the eye can see, which I just love. I'm a big sucker for.
You know what? I just realized kraut cookies sounds like something Colonel Potter would yell, doesn't it?
Kraut cookies!
Kraut cookies, he'd say when everyone's complaining.
Major Burns! Kraut cookies!
That's what she said!
Anyway, so we're walking around and we see a guy who's walking around in what looks like a wolf costume. I'm thinking, all right, is that Houndour? Is he dressed up as Houndour? Because I don't recognize it as a Pokemon, but I mean, this whole thing, you know, the whole Old Town Arvada just full of Pokemon players, 95 degree heat. This guy's crazy for walking around like that, but whatever. We're thinking, all right, well, he must be, you know, he's a Pokemon player, just really into it and didn't have a costume that looked like a Pokemon, so we wore that. And walking around a little bit more, and we see another couple people who were walking around in what look like big mascot costumes, furry costumes. And then we round the corner and we see where they're all going. Uh-huh. And they're all getting together at this restaurant in Old Town Arvada. It's a restaurant that came from Austin, Texas. And the place is packed with people in furry costumes. Furries, I guess.
Man, in this weather as well. In this heat, they're dressed.
In this heat, yeah. Right, exactly. Now, what's funny is the location they picked to have these meetups, which we found out occur every Sunday. Apparently every Sunday they all get together at Fuzzy's Tacos.
great.
Which is like the best place to have this. It's like, all right, Fuzzy's Tacos, great place to have a weekly furry meetup, which is great. One of these times I want to go and just get like take a picture so people can see what it's like. But
does the name give you any pause? Like Fuzzy Tacos sounds gross to me, like a fuzzy.
Oh well, I mean, you know,
I know it's like, a guy. Like, it's supposed to be a guy, right? Like some guy named.
It's
Fuzzy.
A guy. I think it's a guy named Fuzzy. But yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, there's places called the Pink Taco or the.
Are there really?
Whatever. I'm not going to go further. But
is there really a place called the Pink Taco? I can go get tacos.
Yeah, there's a place called the Pink Taco.
There is. That's an actual taco place.
It's an actual restaurant. Yes.
Hold on.
In Atlanta, Georgia, if I remember correctly.
Pink Taco. We keep it real and uncomplicated. Pink
Chicago
Tacos
is where that one is, but I think there's one in.
There's one in Los Angeles as well.
Atlanta too, I thought, but maybe not.
There's one on the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles, and there's one in.
Oh yeah, Chicago,
Vegas?
Boston, Miami.
There's one in Vegas, maybe.
It looked like, there was a thing that said Pink Taco Vegas, but I don't know. I didn't see.
It wasn't the one we were thinking it was.
Yeah, that might not be a taco place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, sorry. Yeah, that's real. It looks good, too, by the way. A taco with the, because what they got in there is those, they must be famous
pickled
for it,
cabbage.
But pickled cabbage and onions. Oh, yeah. My gosh, dude.
That's right.
Oh, yep. Okay, that looks really good. Anyway, continue.
Oh, yeah, there is one. Okay, Pink Taco Mexican Cantina in the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas is John Fla, 1968.
Nice.
Anyway, so, so it should be really funny. I do want to go there and just get a picture. They were all super friendly. I mean, they were intermingling with the Pokemon players. It was kind of funny. Like seeing these two different groups all colliding in one place, and Pokemon players wanting to throw a ball at them and catch them, I guess.
Did any of them square off and go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? They look like you were going to have a little Pokemon fight? Yeah, like a little
Sharks, Jets kind of standoff, snapping their fingers back and forth.
I love that idea.
When you're a furry all your life, from your first mascot head to your last
ugly wife.
Fuzzy tail. Oh. I don't know.
I kind of like rhyme. Ugly wife because it rhymed. It's fine.
I know.
So that's interesting. So this sounds like the kind of furry gathering that isn't the stereotypic, hey, we're all getting together to have animal duty, right?
No. This isn't like a, no.
All right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know these. Yeah, I've never been to a furry gathering of any sort. So
and obviously neither have I. I think this is just like, this is just, you know, we like. I bet there was. Doc Medpod asks if there was any scritching going on. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there's plenty of scritching. If that's just like.
What is scritching?
People scratching each other behind the ear in their furry costumes.
Oh.
And I hope that's all it is. I hope that's not something else.
No whiffing, says Ninja Steve. We hope not.
I don't even know what that. Why do you guys know what these terms mean? I don't know what these things.
Well, and there. Here's the thing. We'll probably get some emails from someone who's an actual furry, and they can explain it. I have no harsh judgment toward any of this. I just don't understand it. I don't get it.
But I'm glad. We got a tweet from Just a Dog on Twitter saying, "Yeah, we call it fursonas, and the convention in Pittsburgh is one of the largest in the world. Brings in about $10 to $16 million to the economy for just that single weekend." So there you go.
Well, all right then. Brian's a furry. That's what we've learned here.
I'm not even a little furry, Scott.
Got a little hair. Hey, if you were to do a furry thing, what animal would you be?
What animal would I be?
Yeah.
I already told you I would be Barf from Spaceballs.
Oh, right. We did this last week. I forgot.
Yes, I think that's actually where it came up.
Yeah, you're right.
What would be our fursona, I think, is the way it actually got asked.
And then you went right to a furry thing, not on purpose, but you found one.
Just found one, stumbled upon it. Yeah.
Do you think there's a Venn diagram where there's like big crossover of the furry community and Pokemon Go?
I don't think so. Because these people were not playing Pokemon Go.
Mm.
There were maybe two people. So they all had like hanging name tags on like New Orleans beads. Okay. But it was like the ones you see at BlizzCon where it's a big name tag that hangs down and has a picture of the animal that they are, and I guess their name on it, or what their animal name is.
Okay. Oh, they have different names. I didn't know that.
Well, you're going to be a furry. You get to name yourself whatever you want. Right?
I didn't know that. This is all news. This is all new information to me. I figured you were just, if you're Phil, and on the weekend you're into furry stuff, then you're just Phil the furry.
Oh, no. I mean, you'd be, Frenelope Buzzcut. I don't know.
Frenelope Buzzcut. Yeah.
Frenelope Buzzcut. You'd have some name of like whatever your character is that you go as.
Okay. And when so I'm asking you as if you know, and you probably don't.
I know. Yeah, exactly. I think I've told you everything I know at this point.
Everyone listening at home, look, if you're a furry expert, send us your thoughts. I'd love to know more about the deal. And you know what? I guess here's what I always get with stuff like this, like with the ASMR thing and everything else. I get a bunch of emails going, it's a misunderstanding that most of these people are into doing it. No, I get it. I understand there's probably a mainstream, larger community that is just a more open, whatever. But there is always these little side deals. Like, I guarantee you there are big furry groups that all get together and do it all day.
Yeah, but I don't think the assumption or we certainly don't want to just assume that it's like a big furry orgy. I think, you know, people like dressing up like that in the privacy of their own home with their partner, and that's I think the typical way that is fetish it? Is
okay.
realized.
That's great. Listen, let me tell you.
I don't think it's like let's all get together in a ballroom and.
If I showed up at the house, if I came home one night and said, "Yo, Kim, come here," and she walked into the living room and I was dressed like a big cat,
yeah,
that might be the end of it. We might be done.
I think it would. But I think if you had met her, if you dressed up like a big cat on the regular and you had met her at one of these meetups, maybe at Fuzzy's Tacos, and realized you had the same interests, then it wouldn't be the end of it. But yeah, after 20 plus years of marriage, 25 years of marriage, however long it's been,
yeah,
it probably would weird her out if all of a sudden this came out of a chest.
Yeah. She gets home Friday. When she gets home Friday, I'll think about it. I'll see what I can do.
Perfect. Make I think that's happen. A great idea. Yeah. Actually, just have her walk in, find you sitting at home, feet up on the coffee table, sitting on the couch watching TV, but you're dressed as like a big leopard.
Perfect. And by the way, with this all this hot weather, what greater time to become a furry than
now? Right? I know. It's like, oh, I would just schedule these things for October through April. Yeah. I would not do July or August.
Wait. I got a question for furries real quick. This is the final question.
Sure.
So you send chat room, you send in your, whoever knows this, tell me, or if you know it now, you can tell us live. If not, email us. What was I going to ask? Oh, I know what it was. Are there ever any two-man furries? Can you do, you know, like the horse where one guy's the back end?
It's like...
Yeah. That's what I want to know. Can you, like a polar bear, one guy's the front, the other guy's the back? I'd really.
Or lady in front, guy in the back, guy in front, lady in back. I don't know. It could be, you know, any two ladies. Sure, whatever.
Yeah, I'm just curious about that. If that's true, that's kind of weird. I'd like to know more about it, is all I'm saying. Yeah, dual furries. Because, you
that,
know.
I think I would love to see that.
To make a bigger creature, you'd have to, right. You know.
Like the furry Voltron, basically, is what you're imagining.
Yeah, it took like 8 dwarves and a normal guy to make Jabba the Hutt. So.
That's a different thing.
Whatever.
They weren't all doing it.
Someone always corrects me on that because I have this stereotype that there were like 12 people involved with Jabba the Hutt functioning and it was really like 3, but I always like to say there were 8. Anyway.
Right.
There you go. Brian's an now a furry. You heard it here first. Fresh on the show. It's happening.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it.
All right.
Let's call our old pal Brian Dunaway.
Let's call Brian Dunaway. Yeah. I gotta figure out what we're doing today.
Yeah, he exists. He exists, so we're going to call him. I think he exists, I hope. Dunaway, can you hear us? No? Not yet. Brian Dunaway, you there?
Brian?
Dunaway? He's green. Oh, there he is. Okay, here's this. Hey, everybody, welcome to the program... Brian Dunaway for Babel Royale. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi. Hello, Brian.
Hi. Feel like we just saw you. We did over the weekend.
We did just a couple of days ago, and we talked all about that Vietnam movie. Mm-hmm. No, not Platoon.
Mm-hmm.
The other one.
The other one. Full Monkey Jacket. Yeah, no, I was glad we did that episode, turns out. I was worried about it, and I ended up really liking it. So there's that. Brian Dunaway is here to play Babel Royale. Whoops, I pushed the wrong button and did it twice. There we go. You guys call a number, and when you call that number, you will be a part of the show. That's 801-471-0462. You could win some prizes, all that fun stuff. Gotta quickly set the calls up. There we go. The lines are open, 801-471-0462, and see if you are today's big wiener. While we wait for our first caller, oh, we don't even have to wait. Here it is. Oh, gosh, it's making sound. Oh. Why? It's not supposed to. Hold on a second. Let's fix that. All right. Hi, you're on the... Oh, they went away. They hung up. Why'd you hang up?
Yeah, they must have heard you. They
got
talking
scared.
Trash.
You scared them.
I guess so. I don't know what happened. Okay, do that again, whoever you were, if you want to, or someone else can call it. 801-471-0462. Dunaway.
Scott.
Shit. There's the call already came in again. All right, hold on. Sorry. hi, you are on the air. Who's this? Oh, I don't know why it's ringing. It's not supposed to.
Failing, Scott.
Incoming voice call. Hi. Hello, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello?
Hi, this is Alex from North Florida.
Well, hello, Alex from North Florida. Alex. How are you? What's going on in your neck of the world? You're probably pretty hot down there.
Nope.
Yes. Very hot and steamy.
Yeah. What do you mean, nope, Dunaway? What's the matter? Is North Carolina?
He's in North Florida. He's practically in my backyard. It's nice and cool here. The humidity must all be down there.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Whatever, dude. Wow. Look, here's the deal. The entire country, nay, the world, is experiencing hot temperatures, like in the record-breaking
zones. Whatever, Al Gore.
I try to avoid it as much as possible, but I have no AC in my car, so I'm pretty miserable.
Oh, man.
Dude, that's how I grew up. We never had AC in our cars when I was growing up. I hated that.
What do you estimate your high temperature is going to be today? What's going to be the high temperature in degrees Fahrenheit?
Oh, my gosh. I haven't even braved going outside yet, but I'd probably say, like, lower 90s, maybe.
No, that's not too bad. Okay. With the humidity.
The humidity is, like, 40% or something.
That'll add to it. It'll feel like 100.
Right.
Here where I live, it will literally be 100 and was yesterday. And boy, howdy, it was
It's
hot.
Like the dry heat, though, right?
Yeah, everyone says
it's
that.
It's dry heat, yeah.
Still hot, turns out. Still kind of hot. however, all of that being said, everyone be careful and quit setting fires that don't need to be set, because that's a problem out here, especially in the West. That's bad.
I guess I was going to ask you, are there fires that do need to be set? But I guess there are. You know, there's controlled burning. There's reason for that
right.
sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's that. What's that song? We didn't start the fire. It was someone else.
No. I think you're thinking of Don't Give a Hoot, Don't Pollute. No, that's not it.
No, that's definitely not it.
You're thinking of Smokey the Bear.
I'm always thinking of Smokey the Bear. Won't someone think of
it? It's just Smokey Bear, Brian.
Yeah, it's just Smokey Bear. Keep it together.
No.
Yeah. Go
Not
look it
where
up.
I live.
Yeah, go look it up.
Smokey the Bear.
Yeah, because you guys have it wrong. Hey, let's get to it. Brian Abbott will explain how Battle Royale works and what he could win. Brian, how does
That's
it work?
Right. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer or gives a repeated answer or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win goes to the other player. Your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for a box of random toys and goodies courtesy of B4 Tank Girl. She sent me a big box full of fun stuff to give away. There are Lego things in here. There are here's like a random pirate with a hook for a hand and a shotgun. Here's Matt Smith, the Doctor, Matt Smith, and a little Doctor Who mini book. You'll just get a handful, like a big old reach in and grab a handful of these these fun things from this box.
He almost
everything
said,
you say just
he said know, he reach, almost said reach you, around
almost, I really did almost say you look like the kind of guy who'd stick his hand into this box, pull out a bunch of toys, and not even have the decency to give a reach around.
Leer me, everybody. Leer me.
Oh, Axe Cop, check it out. There's Axe Cop in here.
No way.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
This is a nice little package.
I'm
I like it
young.
This is fantastic. You're gonna get the best package of all time.
You are gonna get the best package.
Yep.
We have the best packages.
Yeah.
The topic today is presidents from the 20th century.
Mm.
So only presidents from the 20th century. You guys can start
thinking
about that.
What about presidents that you didn't consider your president? How does that count?
Okay. Let me rephrase that too, by the way. Presidents who were elected during the 20th century.
No.
Because you need to have a specific date of when they got elected. That might change one or two of them. So
okay. I think
presidents of the 20th century.
I feel pretty good about this, actually. All right.
Yes. Now, Alex, based on their reactions, who do you feel has the upper hand in this one?
I'm going with Scott's confidence on this one. So
yeah, buddy. Woo!
All right. And yes, to clarify, I'm glad you asked Smitty in the chat room, United States presidents. Only presidents of the United States of America.
Not El Presidente.
No.
Not El Presidente.
I'm with you.
Yes.
Yeah, not president of GE.
Also, Brian gave me crap for being from North Florida, so Scott win this morning.
Ah, even better.
don't bet with your heart. Bet with your head.
I like it.
You also have the opportunity, Alex, to choose who gets to go first. It might be an advantage for somebody. It could be a disadvantage for somebody else. Who would you like to begin this Battle Royale?
Let's punish him, Brian.
Brian, punishment for dissing. Mm-hmm. North Florida. Brian, you're going to get to go first. So, name a president from the 20th century.
Not my president, Bill Clinton.
Mm.
Very good.
Billary Clinton. Elected,
I'm kidding. Don't write me. I'm kidding.
No, you're not. He kind of sucked. Go ahead, Brian.
Elected 1993. President from 1993 to 2001.
On the saxophone platform.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. He
did not have sex with that woman. Define sex, though, if you don't mind, please. Yeah, really,
I wish you would have said that.
Descriptively, please. Slower. Thank you.
Thank you. Was it Elvis now?
Thank you. I don't know why he's Elvis. He turned into... I don't know where he went with that.
President Presley. I like it. I'll just go ahead and get him out of the way now. Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, 1981 to 1989.
Uh-huh.
That's right. My turn. Yes, it is.
All right, my favorite peanut-eating president, Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
Jimmy Carter, yes.
Also underrated president, in my opinion. Great person.
Jimmy Carter is the real deal, man. I mean, like his policies or not, that guy has continued to be the best ex-president we ever had.
Totally. Yeah. All that stuff he does for Habitat for Humanity and
a million other things. Out there and doing, he's amazing. That guy's amazing. And gets cancer, still goes out and kicks ass. He's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
He was too honest. That was his problem. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to give the speech about the truth. Yeah. Everybody went, boo.
Yeah, nobody likes Reagan. The truth. Nobody likes the truth.
he's one of two presidential libraries I've been to. I've been to the Jimmy Carter Presidential Library and the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library.
Oh, very nice. I'm going to say Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Sure. 1969 to 1974. Resigned from office. Yeah. That's correct.
Milhouse. Yeah. I'm going to head back in the other direction and go with Mr. Senior George Bush.
Oh, H.W. Sure. Bush.
Short George H.W. Correct.
Hard to think about Reagan without thinking about Senior.
Totally true. Yep. 1993.
Without Senior. the replacement Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford.
Oh. Very good. 74 to 77.
I'm going to fall down many times during my brief presidency.
The clumsy president. Yeah. Yes. wasn't it just wonderful times when the worst thing that they could say about a president, boy, he sure is clumsy. Yeah.
But wasn't that not really a thing? Wasn't that what we just believed because of Chevy Chase's amazing stupid impression?
Yeah.
Right. He totally got conflated because of
I want to say it was like one time he tripped on a podium or something and then
you throw up on a Japanese people one time and everybody, that's all they remember.
Yeah. Who was that? That was Bush Senior did that, right?
Bush
that
Senior,
was
Bush Senior, yeah.
Senior or Junior? Yeah. I thought it was
Bush.
No,
it was Senior, wasn't it?
It was Senior.
I thought it was Bush Junior.
No, Senior did it.
Yeah, they probably both did it.
I have seen video of this occurrence and it was Bush Senior, I can promise you that.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, whose turn is it?
Mine again, is it?
It is Scott's turn, yes.
My brain just went blank. Right before Nixon would have been... Oh, geez. I'm just watching the Vietnam War thing. I like the Dunaway had a Vietnam sound right there, ready to go. It's always helicopters, guns, or
Viet
CCR.
Gun. There's the... Go ahead.
Lyndon B. Johnson. That's his
there
name.
You go. Yeah. Sure.
I like that you know all the middle initials of the presidents. That's
I don't know.
Baines, wasn't it? Wasn't it Lyndon Baines Johnson?
Baines. Bain? Lyndon Bain Johnson? Baines?
Lyndon Baines, I thought. B-A-I-N-E-S.
I forget. You're probably right. I know it's B, but I forget for what. Butthole, the way this documentary I'm watching is kind of a butthole. Anyway, Lyndon B. Butthole Johnson. All right, go ahead, Dunaway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for some reason, I almost pulled this out earlier. Now I'm afraid that we've already said it. What is that? I don't know.
Ooh, that's a good sign for us, Alex. I think
we're
gonna do okay.
Oh, did we already say? Did we say John Kennedy? Did we say that already?
We did not say John Kennedy. You just said it. 1961 to 1963. Yeah. Died in office, as people might know. I don't know if people did see that great Oliver Stone picture, but we learned from that movie that Kennedy died in office.
Did he pass away during his office?
I like the other one. I like the Stephen King adaptation.
Oh, yeah.
The song.
Yeah.
11-22-63.
Yep.
Great book, by the way. Really good book. All right. Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Dwight Eisenhower, you guys are doing a great job of working your way backwards. 1953 to 1961 absolutely falls right in the middle of this Babel Royale topic.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something, people. When you get older, you start learning the presidents over time. They cheat you in school, sure,
yeah,
but you forget all that mess. But then over time, just going down rabbit holes and stuff, you're like, oh, mm-hmm, who was the president during that?
Mm-hmm.
What a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then we might as well go with, how about we go with a Franklin D. Roosevelt? How about that guy?
Sure. That guy. D for Delano, 1933 to 1945, also died in office.
Oh, that's right. Then I will say who replaced him. And I know this because I've been watching MASH again with the kids.
Oh.
And they're always making fun of him. Harry S. Truman.
Correctamundo. Yep.
Yes.
I don't know what the S stands for.
1945 to 1953.
Do you know what the S stands for? Do you have any idea?
Absolutely nothing. Say it again.
All right. Great. Harry Shit Truman. I have no idea.
Right? Harry Shit Truman. Oh, take a big Harry Shit Truman.
I'm going to go. Oh, it's my turn again?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to go back with the other Roosevelt, Theodore. Teddy, right?
Teddy Roosevelt, just Teddy eking Bear. In 1901 to 1909.
I guess that's right. Oh, I thought it was later than that. But
I thought that was it.
So wait, the rule is elected during the 20th century, not. Wait.
Oh, he must be out of. He must be out of presidents. He's trying to win it now.
Well, no, the president. The president before Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, would not qualify, right? Because he was elected outside of the century.
He was elected outside of those dates, right?
Exactly. But unless he got elected a second term, but I don't think that's how that one worked.
And technically, I guess I should say started their term. I don't want to say elected because with Lyndon B. Johnson, technically wasn't elected.
Yeah,
he was.
Ooh, snap.
He took office. So,
he was reelected, but yes, he was took office during when Kennedy died. All right,
I'm going by the year that they started their presidency, not by the actual the fact that they were elected or not elected.
Right.
So the chat room apparently has been going on about, oh, that guy wasn't elected. Scott lost. didn't win.
No,
Lyndon B. Johnson wasn't elected.
We're not.
I'm gonna agree.
Chat room.
Game over, man.
Gerald Ford.
Game over.
Yeah. I'm gonna say. Well, actually, with the exception of Ford, they were reelected at least, so they were still elected during the 20th century. Just Ford wasn't, right? Because he declined to run again, didn't he?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, before
Roosevelt. The vacuum guy, Herbert Hoover.
inventor of the suction vacuum, Herbert Hoover.
Yep. Yeah.
1929 to 1933.
Oh, we're running out of freaking century here.
Yeah.
I will
yeah.
tell you, you've got four presidents left.
Ooh, wow.
On this list, so.
I hope Scott doesn't have too many more left because I can really only think of one more. I think it was William Howard Taft. He was after that Teddy Roosevelt. I kind of remember that from school.
Didn't he die or something in office?
1909 to 1913. No, he didn't die in office. He did die. He died in 1930.
Oh.
But he didn't die. He didn't die in office.
I thought he died in office for some reason. I don't know why I thought that.
Then after that, it's kind of like a blank. I don't know if I just didn't study much history during that time period or what.
Well, I'm a big fan of the alliterative names, so I just gave you Herbert Hoover. I also like Woodrow Wilson. I wish there were more of these.
Another DC character, right?
There
Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
1913 to 1921, Woody Wilson.
Woody
Now batting.
Yeah.
Woody Wilson.
All right,
Whoa,
I'm nervous now.
Two left.
Is that all that's left?
That's all
then
that's
we're,
left. You guys have been kicking butt on this one.
We're in trouble, Ben. Go ahead.
This one goes out to Seth, I think Seth Crandall, for sending this one in. So thank you for sending this in, Seth. Well done.
It's a good one. Go ahead.
Now the rest of my knowledge really comes from trivia stuff, like
who died in office or who didn't hang around for very long or who was the 16th or the first president, that kind of stuff.
Sure, sure.
I know there was, I know this is too old.
You might be right. Just say
Benji- it. No, no, no. I know he's too old. I'm having a little blank after that. Benjamin Harrison.
Harrison was not.
Oh, no. Thank the high Lord
well,
on
I
high.
I know he wasn't, but
can you
worth
tell me,
try.
Was Calvin Coolidge in there? Would I have gotten that one?
Calvin Coolidge, you would have gotten that. Yeah,
oh, was, that was oh, the only
he's
other.
He's another one of your alliterative presidents.
He's the only one. Other one I remembered, but yeah. I wasn't sure on the timing. I don't remember where
and,
he sat.
And besides Coolidge, the only other one you could have said was Warren G. Harding.
I would have remembered Harding. No way.
I never think about Harding.
No, he was in office for 2 years. 1921 and 1923, died in office.
That's the one that died in office. Okay. He was only 57 years old when he died. Is that right? Do I have that right?
Warren G. Harding?
One of these guys was in their 50s when they passed away in office, and it was like this huge shock because he was young for a president to
certainly
die.
Certainly could have been. Let's see. He was born in 1865, died in 1923, so he would have been 58.
So younger than 60, which is just always a little bit crazy. All right then. There's your good times. And that means, Alex, you are the clear queener today. Well done.
Oh, I should play
the thing.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
You are absolutely a winner. And all you got to do is email Brian Ibbett at coverville@gmail.com. He will get your address and you will be sent today's winnings. Congratulations.
Nicely
and stay
done.
In trouble.
Yes.
Done away. Nice
well,
try.
Well fought, Scott.
Yes, I feel pretty good about that. Later today, 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time, that's 5:30 Eastern, Brian and I will be doing an episode of The Boop Show. Lots to talk about. I cracked open an old game that just got remastered, and boy howdy do I have some things to say about it in 2018. Oh. So check that out today at 3:30 Mountain Time. That's The Boop Show right here at frogpants.tv. Boop. Brian Dunaway, kiss our butts. Okay, he's out. kiss our butts. Say, meh. All right, that's going to do it for that, I believe. Cool. We should probably do this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by...
Life is a series of first experiences. First year of college, first day on the new job, first kid. The best part is we can learn so much from these first experiences. The Pepper Jack Project team is looking to tell these stories and share what we can learn from them for our second season of the show. Everyone is welcome, and no story is too small. If you'd like to share your story with us, please contact bluecowradio@gmail.com.
Very good.
Sure.
Canada, what's going on up there? You got the guy in Ontario asking $30 for a 6-year-old McDonald's cheeseburger and fries.
If it comes with the fries,
You're in. Let me show you a picture of this, chat. This is nasty, as you might imagine.
So this is an interesting thing, because at some point, like, upon purchase, he decided he was going to put this up on a shelf and not eat it.
Yep.
But then also, he decided now is the right time to sell this thing. Like,
yep.
Like, why not 10 years? Why not go 10 years? Why not go 15? Like, what is it about 6 years he's decided, you know, honey, I think it's about time I sell that cheeseburger and fries that's been sitting up on the shelf.
I might honestly consider selling that Twinkie now. I think the Twinkie I've got is 15 years old.
Oh,
at 15,
wow.
Maybe close to 16 or 17.
Oh, yeah, because it was before, it was ELR.
Oh, yeah, way back.
Yeah.
And it's it looks like a Twinkie, but it's petrified like a stone. It's amazing. I bet I'd get some cash out of that. But anyway, This guy wants $30 for a 6-year-old McDonald's cheeseburger and fries. Original owner, never eaten, boasts the item's description on eBay. David Alexander says the cheeseburger and fries he bought at McDonald's 6 years ago and placed on a shelf are surprisingly decent looking still. Well, that's because their food is so full of preservatives it never actually degrades.
Right, yeah, exactly.
The fries are stunningly good looking, he says.
Stunningly.
Yeah.
Hey, that seems like the wrong adjective. Ooh, those fries are stunning.
Yeah. Says they look like they were purchased this morning, he says. Come on. I'm looking at the picture. That does not look like this morning.
And I'm guessing stuff like... you know, the pickle that would rot is encased between the bun and the meat so well that it's almost like in a little preserved state of limbo, or maybe it's like
mummified pickle.
Right, it's mummified. Maybe it's Schrodinger's pickle. Like the pickle currently is both rotting and not rotting, or is both simultaneously rotting and not rotting, and you won't know until you actually pull the bun up what it is.
It says here he lives on a farm in north of London. Why is this in Canada then? Oh, maybe it's Ontario, London.
Ontario, England. Yes.
Oh, that's what it is. Says he's downsizing his home and decided to sell the... Yeah, because this takes up so much space.
Downsizing.
Nice. Yeah. Yes. What's the opposite of supersizing? Put that in there. Go to press.
I'm downsizing. Really, it's my wife is leaving me and taking half my stuff because I'm a little bit of a hoarder and I hold on to things that are kind of unnecessary. So I need a smaller house.
He basically said he just wanted to test the urban legend, and it's true. It'll preserve. He bought a regular burger and fries to compare them, and they both got all moldy and started to rot the way your food's supposed to do over time. So it's kind of gross. But if you want it, Brian, up there now, available now.
Perfect. Yeah. Original owner. I like the fact that he includes that in the description.
Yeah.
Original owner.
Well done. Let's see. The zero bids, by the way, as of Thursday. I don't think people are going to buy it.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But if this was somebody's, like if you said this is Hasselhoff's floor burger, they'd probably pay big money for it.
Oh, sure. Right.
I would.
Yeah. Didn't he eat the whole thing and talk like Chewbacca?
He did. He's never been so drunk in his life. His poor daughter.
Oh.
Here's a story that pissed me off, so I'll share it with you guys.
Okay.
Paul Blart, pool cop, it's not really his name.
Oh, darn.
Was fired after calling police on a woman for swimming in her own pool. The tartar sauce-hued hero who served as sentry to his neighbor's watering hole. It's basically a community pool. We have those
okay,
here.
Wait, tartar sauce-hued hero. So he's...
white as rain.
So are they just trying not to say that he's white?
I think they're saying that because the story's about him kicking a black lady out of her own pool. But I think
okay. Wow.
Anyway, says lost his job after he sicked the police on a black woman who was trying to sneak into the pool area. At least that's what he said. That he patrols like a fugitive slave catcher. This story has got some stuff to say.
There might be. I would not say this is unbiased.
No, they're clearly angry.
Wow.
They are, let's see, on Friday, Sonoco Products Company announced that Adam Bloom was no longer employed at the Fortune 500 company after the grown-ass safety patrol officer called the Winston-Salem Police Department on a black woman when he foiled her ingenious criminal plan to swim in the pool of her own gated neighborhood. He had claimed to the cops that she didn't have any ID, but when they got there, she had all the ID, including the card that lets her get into the community pool.
Sure.
Classic case, according to the company. The company says this. A classic case of racial profiling. Oh, no, this is her saying this. Sorry. This is a classic case of racial profiling in my $500,000 neighborhood pool. This happens to me and my baby today. What a shame. Or this happened to me and my baby today. Following a loud public outcry, public learned about it, blah, blah, blah. Sonoco put out a statement that says, we are aware of the terrible incident involving the actions of one of our employees outside the workplace. Their statement said, the well-documented incident, which involves activities at a neighborhood pool over the 4th of July, does not reflect the core values of our company, and the employee involved is no longer employed by the company in any respect, unquote.
Wow.
Well, good, because the guy's a peckernard. Fire right. him. He yes, sucks. Exactly. F that guy. Like, why would you do that? Why would you freaking even do that? What is your deal? Maybe you're feeling emboldened by certain factors that make you feel like, hey, maybe I can be a little more of a... of a racist butthole in public and not get in trouble for it. Maybe that's what's happening. Emboldening. Yeah.
Emboldening. No, and this guy's a self, you know, he wasn't elected to a position of pool monitoring. He just took it upon himself to be a pool cop.
Yeah. He thinks he's Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Like the fact that they call him Paul Blart Pool Cop. I think Kevin James might take issue with that. Hey, sure. hey, I never did anything racist on that in that movie. No. Knock it off.
No, he'd say, look, I took advice from a black guy on that movie with Will Smith that I did. What was that
That's
called?
Right.
What was that called?
Hitch, was that?
Hitch? Yeah, Hitch.
Hitch.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like Hitch. I thought Hitch was stupid.
Yeah.
It's not a good movie.
Yeah.
Final story. Kim Jong-un says he's never heard Elton John's Rocket Man.
Okay.
You may recall a few months ago, Trump called him Rocket Man
That's right.
As a disparaging.
Even Little Rocket Man.
Little Rocket Man, that's right.
Yeah.
Basically just challenging him to go ahead and push that button and see what our response will be or whatever. Well, now that they're all buds now, Trump sent him an autographed CD of Elton John's Rocket Man. Now, you might think, oh, autographed by Elton John himself. No, autographed by Trump.
Because I came up with the name.
Yeah.
I invented the term Rocket Man for you.
Yeah, he thinks Elton John owes him money or royalties or something. Anyway, pretty lame.
It feels like a way of acting like it was a term of endearment the whole time, doesn't it? Like it's you know, instead of being, it's like, Lion Ted Cruz. No, it's just because I like the Eagles song Lion Eyes. And I always think of you, you know, you can't hide your lion eyes. And I think of you, Ted Cruz, because they had a little bit of a Texas twang in that song.
Sure. Here's an autographed CD. Yeah. And, I'm sorry, not of the Eagles, but my autograph.
Right. That's right. Don Henley gave me the CD to give to you and I signed it.
So weird. Anyway, this has all just been reported. This is happening. The Pompeo wouldn't answer questions about it. He just sort of sloughed it off. He's the current dude. Mm-hmm. What's his name? What's his job? I forget Pompeo's job. Mike Pompeo. Secretary of State. That's it. Secretary of State. He took over for Rex Tillerson's job. Anyway. Twitter, however, was quick to make Rocket Man and Elton John trending on the internet despite no U.S. confirmation. The reactions were mixed. Most people found the gift to be a joking matter, especially William Shatner. While some thought the president should have gifted Shatner's 1978 spoken word cover of the song to the North Korean leader.
I agree, yes.
Yep, that would have been awesome. Still would have signed it with his own name, which would have been funny.
I think he could have gotten Shatner to sign that one.
Probably, yeah. What's he doing?
I don't know if...
he's just hanging
around. I don't know if they find each other...
He's got a new album coming out, I heard. You probably will get it.
I don't know if I will. If it's not covers, I probably won't. Like, his original stuff, hit or miss for me. That Has-Been album was an exception because it was produced by Ben Folds and Joe Jackson, and it was really, really good. But he's released some stuff since then that I didn't find as listenable.
Ben Folds.
Even an album of covers that I didn't find. This is the one that had Iron Man. Oh.
Lives again.
Nobody helps him.
Here, for those new to the show, enjoy.
Nobody helps him.
So good. Anyway, that's a thing that happened. Let's take a break. When we come back, major spoilers, Trek Nerd and more. Let's have some music first.
Well, okay. Brand new album just came out June 2nd by a band called Moaning Lisas. The Moaning Lisas, you can find them online at moaninglisas.com. A little influenced by Southern culture on the skids. I totally hear that. Even, you know, just some 90s rock like Toad the Wet Sprocket I can hear a little bit of in this, some blues. This is really good stuff. The brand new album is called Extra Cheese. Here's a song from that called Kick Me.
Front seat of my VW. Please tell me where to go, cause I don't seem to know if I'm coming or going at you. Well, I'm working two jobs and I'm trying to find another, cause my banker says that my bank account shutters. Either jump on the car or I won't go far. Try to run out the repo and the credit card. So kick me. That's what the sign says. Kick me. Right from if I had any sense, well, I'd blow this whole scene. Still can't believe it can't eliminate me. But the bills are hot living.
high, you see. So I wake up and sweat, and I bet you regret I'm at the gym in the morning, so I wash away that. So get paid, that's what the sign says. Get paid, right from behind says. Get paid, cause I need, yes I need.
Times are tough now. I just don't think Crystal will sell in my store.
Ah!
The Morning Stream. The Cavalry's here.
Okay, why won't that button work? There we go. Hi, everybody. We're back.
Gosh, sell me some Crystal Pepsi and show me your war face.
Yeah, that guy with his scream is pretty great. Whoop, that didn't make sound. Here, let's try that again. Here you go.
Ah!
That's pretty good. Woo! Woo! All right. Hey, what do you say to little Steven Schleicher in our lives?
Yes.
Sounds okay to you?
Let's majorly spoil something.
All right. Sounds all right to me. Sadly, some of this is about Steve Ditko, which we'll get to. He was old, though.
Yeah.
It's okay to be old and die, you know?
You spoke too soon, free hotel room.
No, what did he say? I miss it.
That's Bob. He says, love the song, especially if you consider we didn't have some depressing letter from a frog panther to introduce it. No, we don't have those letters before the ending.
No.
We get them before that.
We keep those for the requests at the end of the show.
The requests at the end. Duh. Softy you.
Yeah, you big softy, free hotel room. All right. Hey, look, everybody, it's time for this here. Steven Schleicher from Hayes, Kansas, also purveyor of the great MajorSpoilers.com. Hello, Steven.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Hello, Steven.
Good to have you here.
Happy Monday to you.
Yeah, happy Monday to you.
Monday.
We may as well get that nasty Steve Ditko stuff out of the way here. Kind of a bummer. I mean, you know, everyone thinks of Stan Lee all the time because he's always out in front of cameras and stuff. But
right.
The co-creator of Spider-Man, Steve Ditko, is, you know,
not just co-creator of Spider-Man, he created Doctor Strange. He created Hawk and Dove over at DC Comics. He created The Creeper, which is a fantastic character. The Question, Squirrel
Girl.
Oh, I love
The Question. I love The Question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Question is awesome. I mean, he created or had a hand in co-creating so many characters between the mid-60s and the late, I want to say 1998 was the last time he had any real published work done. But yeah, he did pass away, and this is the sad part. So for people that don't know, Steve Ditko was a big recluse. He was somebody that didn't like interacting with the public. He basically just worked from his apartment that he had. There's a great documentary called Finding Ditko, I believe is the title of it, where somebody actually went out to try to track him down.
He's like Bill Watterson. Is that kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of. Although it's what's really surprising is, you know, everyone's like, oh, he was so reclusive. He was so hard to find. And then over the weekend, you just see all these people are like, yeah, I remember just last November I wrote to Steve Ditko and he replied back to me. Mm. I'm like, oh, so apparently he wasn't that hard to find. And if you did know where he lived or you did bump into him, providing that you didn't talk about verboten topics like Spider-Man, for example, he would have long, in-depth conversations to you. But he really, for
see, that
years,
would be tough for me, because that would be the first thing I'd say is, oh man, I'm a big Spider-Man fan. I loved your creation of that character. And he'd be like, yeah, screw you. And he would have walked off.
Yeah.
I forget who I was reading the conversation where they brought up Spider-Man. They met Steve Ditko at the Marvel offices, rode down in an elevator with him, was going out the door and was having polite conversations with him. This person brought up Spider-Man and Ditko just nodded to him and then just veered left, crossed the street and never saw him again.
I think a lot of times what that is people don't want to talk about the thing they're famous for. Like I found this to be true when we first, before he went kind of nuts on us, when we first started hanging out with Kurt Schilling, he hated talking about baseball. But if you brought up video games, he was super into it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with when we interviewed Todd McFarlane. You don't want to talk about Spawn with him. You want to talk about baseball or, you know, his other weird side things that he's into is what would start the conversations up. Then you could get that other stuff in there. You know, you could make it happen. I think the idea is they like it when people don't come off as like slobbering fanboys.
You mm-hmm. know what this means? It means that Todd McFarlane and Kurt Schilling could never have a conversation. One of them would want to talk about baseball. The other one would want to talk about comics.
Well, ironically,
exactly what the other person doesn't want to talk about.
Ironically, they were on the air at the same time. So it's funny you should say that, because that's how we even got the interview, was through Kurt, because he worked for a while with his video game company before it took a dump. But anyway,
well, the Spider-Man was a sore subject for Ditko, because of course Stan Lee was always calling, claiming everything that came out of Marvel as his creation. And then there was a huge lawsuit. Sometime in the last 10 years where the Kirby estate, Jack Kirby, was trying to claim, no, I created Spider-Man. And if you look at Kirby's Spider-Man and you compare it to Ditko's Spider-Man, they're night and day different. I mean, really, mm-hmm. Spider-Man that you know today, Spider-Man that you saw in the Amazing Spider-Man Homecoming movie, that's all Ditko. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful work. Someone said in the chat, what are the DC characters that Ditko created? I mentioned Hawk and Dove. I mentioned The Question. He had Nightshade over at DC Comics. Shade the Changing Man was over at DC, I believe, or was that Charleston? I forget. He just had this really long record of creating characters and just really kind of wanting to be alone. And that is the saddest part about the Steve Ditko story, because while news broke on Friday that Steve Ditko had passed away, he actually died on the 29th. Mm. And yeah, so think about the date and the time, knowing that Ditko was a recluse. And the super sad part of this story is that more than likely he died alone and it took them that long to find him.
Oh, man. I don't like that at all. That sucks.
Yeah, that's a real bummer. And that's why a couple of weeks ago when Brian was headed off to the Denver Comic Con, I said, please, please, please go and meet your heroes. Mm. Go and meet mm-hmm. the people whose yeah. art and work that you love, because they may not always be around. Mm. And even though Steve Ditko was, I think, 91, I want to say, is how old he was when he passed away. Mm-hmm. People aren't going to live forever.
Yeah.
And if you get a chance to go and meet... he was 90. So if you get a chance to go and meet your favorite creators, take that chance wherever you can get it.
Yeah.
You know, I tried, Steven. I really tried, but because of the restraining order, I can't go within 500 feet of Billy Piper. So,
yeah. Well, there you go.
That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
But at least she knows who you are, Brian.
Sure.
Exactly.
She's fully aware. well, that's a bummer, but also, hey, you're 90. That's at some point. That's
yeah. Good, yeah. I mean, lived a very prolific life, influenced a lot of people. I don't know if we'd have Mark Allred, you know, his style of art, if it weren't for Steve Ditko. I feel like
mm-hmm.
Allred is one of Ditko's kind of contemporaries of that style, that thing that Ditko did.
Mm. That yeah. Ditko did so well. Mm-hmm. Hey, hold on a second, though. The question. Can I ask you a question about the question?
Mm-hmm.
How come? Is there any? Is there a modern incarnation of that? Is anybody making DC Question Comics now?
I had heard somebody posted a picture over the weekend saying, hey, I was working on this Question piece when I heard the news of Ditko's passing. I don't know if they've got something coming up with the Question or not. Question originally was one of the Charlton characters, and he was the inspiration, of course, for Rorschach in the Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they're doing anything right now with him. Some of the best Question stories, if you want to check them out, was on the Justice League Unlimited, where he really came off as the paranoid character that he was, looking, you know, always trying to find, you know, conspiracy theories and everything and tracking them down. A fantastic character voiced by... Oh, now I've missed his mind. He was in Reanimator. He was the blue alien from Star Trek in the Enterprise TV series. Mm. I forget his name. Somebody in the chat will pop it up. Mm. But the great voice actor doing that. So if you want to go check out some really good Question.
And if not somebody in the chat room, it'll be Daryl right after you.
Yeah.
They did there's a version of the comic, the one done by Dennis O'Neill.
That was in the 90s, I believe.
Yeah,
the 70s and the 90s.
Early 90s or some, mm-hmm. something. Anyway, the one where they kind of did a reboot, it was the Question number one called Peacemaker. Mm-hmm. I have that still somewhere. And for whatever reason, that thing just ate me up. I loved it. I don't know why I was so attracted to that character, but I loved it. Just so good. So I would love to see that make a return in some form. And something more than just, oh, he made an appearance in issue whatever of JLA. Like,
mm-hmm. And he does pop up every once in a while. He and the Phantom Stranger and a lot of the other mystery men of the DC universe will usually pop up in some kind of group of people kind of overseeing everything going on behind the scenes in the world of DC Comics. So
right. Well, there you go.
The chat room did chime in. Jeffrey Combs.
That's who it is. Yeah.
Yeah, who man, played like four different characters on Deep Space Nine, didn't he? Wasn't he
really?
The guy who did...
Yeah, he was a ton of dudes on not just DS9, but like in all the Star Treks. He was in that Reanimator thing we watched.
Right, Reanimator, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that guy's great, Jeffrey Combs, man. Props to that dude. I didn't know he voiced him. That's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
That is really
oh, yeah,
cool.
As soon as you recognize Combs' voice...
Mm-hmm.
Anytime he's anywhere, you're like, oh, that's who that's doing that voice. How cool is that?
Yeah, he was in that Transformers reboot recently. What was that called? It was really good. Newer Transformers thing went like three seasons. I think it's on Netflix now. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, I know which one.
He was one of the cars in there. Jeffrey Combs was. Don't remember who, though. Is it Coombs or Combs?
Combs is what I'm seeing, but maybe.
I heard Steven say Coombs.
I did, but...
is it Coombs, Steven?
I don't know. That's what I always say is Coombs.
All right.
It's Coombs with one O, but you
double,
know, again,
double O,
we'll,
right?
Question for Daryl, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's a single O, I believe.
It is.
Okay. Story of my life. Hey, let's keep moving here. What about Ant-Man and the Wasp? That came out. What'd you think there? Did you see it?
I think it's better than the first movie. Mm. I thought that there's a lot more humor injected into this than in the first movie. It's... somewhat problematic because they go for the same joke multiple times in the movie, and good jokes, if you're going to do them, come in threes, and the third time that you do it, it better be, you know, the biggest, baddest turn that you ever see. For example, in, let's skip the example because I'm not thinking of, was it Billy Madison? Is that the one that has the banana peel that you see at the beginning of the movie goes out onto the highway, and then you see the bus drive by it multiple times throughout the movie, and then at the very end of the movie, somebody's car skids on that banana peel.
Oh, I don't remember that at all. That was
Billy Madson or the other Adam Sandler movie.
Gilmore.
The other good one.
Yeah, Gilmore, yeah. But, I mean, there's certain things in the movie that fall flat. I think some of the supporting characters continue to be one-dimensional, but still interesting in their own way. Overall, I think if people want to go see it, they definitely should. It made $76 million, I believe, this weekend at the box office stateside. Internationally, it's already over $100 million.
Mm.
But I really think that this really should have just been called the Wasp movie, because she just does a fantastic job. She steps up and is really the hero in this piece. Yeah. And Scott Lang just kind of goes along for the ride.
Sure.
With everything. Of course, he has some bits to play and a part to play in this.
Right.
But I really thought that... that the Wasp was so much better.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I do like Evangeline Lilly a lot. Here's the question I got for you. The trailer freaked me out. because all I could think about when he shrunk the building down and took it away like carry-on luggage was that, is there anybody in there?
No.
Okay.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
No people. Let's put it that way.
If there were people in it, would they shrink with it?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. So miniaturized everything, including people in it. Second question is, wouldn't this just completely jack with the city's sewer and water system?
Oh, yeah, it's funny. Well, I would think that Pym was smart enough to, like, create a self... We actually talked about this while the credits were rolling. My Uncle George and I talked about it. Like, all right, well, Pym is smart enough to create, like, some sort of self-contained generator and water filtration system that would be within that building, so he could take it place to place. My thing was, what about all the stuff? Like, he's got a cup holder with pens on his desk in that building, in his office. Wouldn't that just like completely dump on the floor and everything as he's carrying this thing around?
They don't address that part of it, but that is something that as you watch the movie, because the building shrinking and growing happens multiple times in the movie.
Right.
And it's kind of one of the big plot points of it, but no time do they go into the building and everything that they've been working with suddenly is tipped over and on the floor or anything like that.
And I have an explanation for that, by the way.
Oh, you do? Let's hear it.
Yes.
Velcro.
Pym particles. Pym particles.
It's always the explanation. Pym particles. Yeah.
He's figured out a way to use Pym particles to freeze everything in place when the building shrinks, just for that specific instance.
Of course, he has.
Get me started on unstable molecules. We'll be here all day.
All right. Fair enough. I need to see it still. I haven't. I'm trying to try to see it with the kids while Kim's out of town this week.
So. Yeah, go see it on your Tuesday thing with your magic ticket.
Yeah, my magic ticket is what I'm thinking. Also, those that don't have the magic ticket only have to pay $5. So it's all good. San Diego Comic-Con, like it or not, is coming and coming fast. What's the dates? It's next week?
It's coming up. Weeks. Yeah, it's the 17th, I believe, is preview night, that Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we've got some stuff up on the site. I guess it's the 18th is the preview night. But the 18th through the 22nd. And we'll try to cover as many things as we can over at Major Spoilers, although some publishers have really gotten smart over the last couple of years. And instead of waiting to try to get a big announcement out at San Diego Comic-Con, they're just like, we're just going to do it and make a big event of it like 10 days before the event. So like Boom Studios is releasing new announcements every day leading up to the San Diego Comic-Con, including news that the Serenity Firefly series is moving from Dark Horse Comics over to Boom Studios.
Oh.
I believe I haven't seen. And so big thing about that, they also have announced, I haven't seen it come through in my email yet this morning, but it looks like R.L. Stein will be writing a big series for Boom Studios, which is interesting because the Goosebumps series was or is still over there at IDW Publishing. The interesting thing about the Dark Horse and the Firefly series, the Serenity stuff from Joss Whedon, is that number one, all of the previous stuff that Dark Horse has published, which is in continuity, goes over to Boom as well. Boom will be republishing past volumes of Firefly from Dark Horse in that. And the big question that a lot of people have on their minds that no one has answered yet, maybe it will be answered at the San Diego Comic-Con, is what about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is also a Joss Whedon joint, which is currently over at Dark Horse and, quite frankly, one of the last things keeping that publisher afloat as far as big name brands go. Mm-hmm. Hellboy would be the other one.
Yeah.
Whether that's going to go over to Boom or not.
I don't understand why is Dark Horse getting hosed all the time? How come they're letting everything go? Is the writing on the wall and they're going to go away?
I don't know if the writing is on the wall and they'll go away, but certainly it was a wicked, wicked blow when Lucasfilm was bought by Disney and Disney said, well, we're going to send Star Wars back over to Marvel.
Yeah.
That was a big blow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bums me out. Dark Horse to me was always like that cool other publisher when I was
you're right. And if you think back in history,
they had the
right.
Yeah, they weren't beholden to the comics code and stuff like that. Like the big two were.
Sure.
Well, if you think about it, they brought us Sin City. They brought us the early RoboCop. They actually brought us a lot of the big movie franchises into comic book form. So they still have Aliens. They're not doing RoboCop. That's gone over to Boom. But the Predator franchise is still at Dark Horse. They still have Buffy for now. They have Hellboy, which is probably their biggest thing that they have. And the other thing that people haven't really paid attention to what Dark Horse is doing is they have partnered up with a lot of video game companies to produce the art books, like the art of name your favorite video game stuff. They do a lot of stuff with Bethesda. They do a lot of stuff with Blizzard, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So they're still going to be there, but they are no longer a number three publisher. If you go and look at the charts for June, they have fallen and have routinely now in fourth and fifth place overall as far as all publishers go. We see Image Comics now as the number three publisher. We see IDW Publishing right up there with, I guess, Dark Horse this month is in fourth place. But they've bounced back and forth between fourth and fifth place over the last year since and last couple of years since they lost Star Wars.
Well, how is Boom positioned in there? Are they doing all right?
Boom is they have about 1%, almost 2% of the market share. And years ago when Boom Studios first started, I knew someone who worked there. And they'd always said that their goal was to be a third or fourth place publisher. And, you know, if they're bringing over Firefly and are able to do stuff with that, if they're able to land a few more big properties, it would not surprise me to see them in a fifth place position in the next year and a half.
Well, that'd be great. I like Boom Studios.
Yeah. They've made... yeah, Boom Studios does a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I've enjoyed...
if you're a Steven Universe fan, they have that going on.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of stuff going on with Jim Henson Studios. So if you're a Labyrinth fan, they've got a Labyrinth series going on. The Fraggle Rock series is over at Boom Studios, too. They've got a lot of good stuff.
If you want comics based on Muppets, boy, do we know where to send you. Well, fantastic. This is all great news. And San Diego Comic-Con coverage, of course, coming to MajorSpoilers.com, mm-hmm. as it does every year. I always look forward to that stuff on the podcast and on the site. Anything else you would like people to keep an eye on before we go?
I think that is it for this week. We do have another installment of Munchkinland this week where we're playing Arkham Horror, the living card game. Definitely a fun, exciting game if you're into the Lovecraft mythos. I can't tell you how this week ends, whether we win or lose, but you can check it out for yourself over at youtube.com/MajorSpoilersVideo.
That's fantastic. Steven, have a fantastic week, and we'll talk
to you guys.
Bye now. All right. Exit Skype before it makes a sound. All right. I don't know how Daryl's coming in here.
I know. Skype or Discord.
I have no idea. Last week
he's been doing Discord last couple weeks.
Yeah,
hasn't he?
And it's been working fine, but I don't see him online, so that concerns me slightly. But we'll see. Okay. Actually, maybe what I'll do. Fantastic. Well, Call of Duty still doing it for Brian.
Still doing it for me.
We're back, everybody. We paused for a moment, but we're back. Daryl, you there? Can we hear you? Oh, I hear you. Are you there, Daryl?
Oh, yes. There we are.
Cover up the camera with your finger.
So loud. Hold on a second. Let's turn you down. Say some words.
Words. You guys sound terrible. But if I sound good, then that's good.
You sound fine to me. You're coming through. I'm sure he's got some weird connection thing. But hey, doesn't matter because Daryl's here. Here's this.
Hello, and welcome to Star Trek Adventure.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
Daryl Skeel's on the line talking Star Trek. What's life like? What are we looking at? Is that your hand?
No, it's a pink sticky note, and you guys sound like the Borg gone through some.
Yeah, his connection at the office is probably poop. Is my thinking that happens sometimes? You're breaking up, okay. Daryl. Can you hear us?
Sound good when you're. I mean, you sound crystal clear when you're.
Yeah, when he's talking, when he's not lagging. Daryl, right. Are you there?
Yeah, when I'm not lagging, yes. I'm great.
Yeah, you sound okay now. Can you hear us now?
Randy adjusts his volume independently of you adjusting his volume.
Yeah, you have to.
I wish I could record you guys on this end. It's terrible.
Well, that's great. I'm looking forward to having this conversation then. But you can hear us. You hear me now, right? You can hear me talking now? Shit.
Oh, now you're back.
And I think it's not going to work there. Let's see.
Is this not working?
Switch over to LTE, or do you not get service in there?
Oh, it's terrible here. The connection is just bad.
Let me call. Oh, I don't have that number anymore, though, for the Skype thing. I was paying $18 a month for that thing, and all it was for was calling Daryl. That's all I used it for. $18
a
month.
Bill.
No, you shouldn't pay anything. All right, well, you're here for a second. Let's see if this works. So, the Remembering Leonard Nimoy documentary released on DVD. Now, this isn't the same Spock one that his son did on Netflix, right? It's a different deal?
Right. This is by his daughter, I believe. And it's all about COPD and his life and all that stuff.
COPD. Wait. COPD. What is that?
The smoking thing where your lungs poop out.
Oh, did he have... Is that what he had?
Yeah.
Was he a lifelong smoker?
He quit about 20 years ago, I guess, or more, but that stuff just sticks around and gets worse.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was a smoker. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. That's illogical. Get it? Because he was Spock. Get it? Yeah. You see what I did there?
Kirk, I'm going to step off the bridge for a moment and take a smoke break.
Yeah. Yeah. Captain. Captain, I need a smoke. All right. Well, that's good. Have you seen that? Is it good?
Oh, yeah. It was on PBS. It's mm-hmm. been on PBS for about 8 months. DVD, so everyone can see it. No excuses.
No, is it streaming anywhere or just DVD?
Just DVD.
All right. That's fine. That's a digital versatile disc for people at home.
That's right. Yep. Exactly. Good memory on that.
A lot of people thought it was digital video disc, but you would be incorrect.
No, digital versatile.
Versatile disc. Also, there is a DS9 documentary now in post-production, What We Left Behind, and there will be HD footage. Tell me what this is. Like, what's the deal here?
Well, you've got all the stars in it, the producers, everybody's brought back together for a huge, giant interview, and I'm excited about it. I'm not even a big, huge DS9 fan, but it's going to be great, and they've remastered some of...
There he goes.
They remastered Summer, is what I heard.
Yeah.
finally.
remastered some of the footage.
Ah, some of the footage, right. And the footage from the show, you mean, like from episodes
from
and stuff?
From the show, yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. Captain Sisko show up and say wacky things? Because that's what he does in real life.
I'm sure he does. Yeah. I am certain of that.
Man called Hawk. Well, that's exciting. When do we get that? What's the date on that? Do we know?
I don't think there's a date yet, but it's supposed to be sometime, I guess, this year, because that's the 25th anniversary.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited about
that. I really loved my binge watching of that show, so I'm excited to see the documentary. I don't know why, but I feel like that, like DS9 might have some of the most interesting stories behind it. You know, trying to come up with, all right, how do we do... keep a show fresh and exciting when the ship stays in place and everything else comes to the ship or comes to the space station.
Yeah, it's a tricky new way to do Star Trek, and I don't think people give it enough credit for somewhat successfully doing that. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but it's
a lot of people's big, huge cup of tea, their best cup of tea.
Yeah, a lot of people
like it as their favorite.
It's their favorite tea.
Yeah.
They
and mostly
dip.
Because of the fine work of Jeffrey Combs or Coombs?
Coombs.
It's Combs, right?
Combs, like through Combs. Your hair if you had it.
Okay. Well, look, Steven's from Kansas. What do they know? They don't know how to say words there. Just kidding.
Wow.
Just kidding. We love Steven. Kansas. Kansas is
coming
great.
From the master of pronunciation.
That's right. Gaga ga, ga. Trek Nerd on Twitter. Find him there. All right. We're done with Daryl. His connection was bad.
Yeah.
Brian, before we leave, would you remind me what's going on with Soundography this week? I heard there was a new episode.
There is absolutely a new episode. Just went up today. One of my favorite bands of all time, but definitely not a band that a lot of people know about. A band called Sparks, Ron and Russell Mayle, brothers. I should pause there. Ron and Russell Mayle, comma, brothers, because it's obvious they're Mayle brothers. Yeah. They founded this band in the 70s and have had so many different eras of style, whether it's like really kind of kooky bordering on novelty song style music or dancey stuff or their current stuff, which is a little bit more orchestral arranged. I don't know. They're awesome. Find out more about them by going to soundography.com. You know, you might know the song Cool Places with Jane Wiedlin. That was their big hit.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you saw them in the movie Roller Coaster, where they were the band that performed there, or you're looking forward to them and their adaptation of My the Psychic Girl with Tim Burton at some point.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
So keep an eye out, but go listen to Soundography and see what you think.
I hope that you two fight so that the sparks fly.
Oh, it's funny. We didn't that joke never came up, believe it or not.
Oh, whoa, really?
Like that's something that we would have done. Yes,
that's crazy. By the way, this just in: beep, 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 beep.
Breaking news:
Jules Scott sends me a private message on Twitter. Says, "I just had coffee with your sister Wendy. She was staying right around the corner from my house. This world is amazing and strange and small." Aww. So I forgot, Jules is in Minneapolis. Wendy and her family are going to be moving to Minneapolis from Sweden in like a few weeks.
Wow, are they in there? They're currently shopping for houses there, I'm
guessing?
Yeah,
I'm sure that's what she's there for. I think she maybe have told us this and I just forgot she was coming, but whatever. It's going to be, July is nuts. August is equally as nuts. Yeah. My whole life is nuts until like BlizzCon. It's kind of giving me the willies, how much I have going on. Sure. And I still got to get these cards out, man. I am cranking, though. We got that survey going up for the playing cards. If you're curious about that, that's happening maybe today, tomorrow, maybe at the worst, something like that.
Ooh, cool.
Which means
chance for people to increase items to their order.
Too. Yeah, if they like, right? Oh, hey, I do want the concentration deck, or I would like the whatever. In fact, the concentration deck features an image of Brian Ibbett as one of the cards that we're doing going to use for that. So anyway, you'll see this soon. There oh, should,
really?
We should.
I don't even know about this. Wow.
Did she say it last week, Gregson? She probably did. I just don't remember. No, she wasn't here last week. We're week before that. I don't remember. Whatever. Anyway, my sister coming back to the United States
awesome.
Of America.
Oh, I'm so happy.
I am too. I'm a little worried about their. They were kind of used to the free healthcare over there. They liked that. And yeah. Why wouldn't you?
They probably also like the distance from American politics that you get there too.
Yeah. I wonder what that'll be like, because here you'll get it full on right in the face.
Yeah, you
will. That'll be interesting. Anyway, there's that. What else? Don't forget to vote on our title today. If you guys want to check that out, frogpants.showbot.tv. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS. Therein, you will find links to everything, including our Patreon, where you can support the show and give your love right back as we give it out to you. That's going to do it for today's show. Let's leave them with the song, You Got One?
Yes,
oh,
I do.
Oh, one more thing I almost forgot. Patreon yes. people. Now we're talking about Patreon. You're getting an extra special elongated multi-year mashup. I wouldn't even call it a mashup. It's more than that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so good. It's so cool.
I can't wait to hear this thing. I'm so looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, and so the regular show, you'll get your mashups. Don't worry. But this one that's going up there, 100% exclusive to patrons. If you're a patron of the show, you'll be getting that soon. If it's not already up there, it'll be up there today.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so we're not playing it live in the show. That was my...
Right. You didn't want to be spoiled.
So I can go listen to it anytime I want.
Yeah, you just didn't want to be spoiled, which I totally understand. But it's awesome. Yeah. He did an incredible job with it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. So there's that. All right, sorry. Brian, song. What do you got?
Song going out to Brian from Denver. No, not me. Another Brian from Denver. How could there possibly be more than one? He says, hi, guys. My closest friend Todd is getting married on July 7th. We've known each other since middle school, which for us has been a while. He's always been into 80s music, a bit too much perhaps, but for this special occasion, I won't begrudge him the request. If you could play a song from Howard Jones or perhaps another super 80s selection that fits the occasion, I know he'd appreciate it. Signed, Brian from Denver. Well, you had me at Howard Jones. I've been a big fan of Howard Jones myself since the 80s, and getting a chance to play a cover by Howard Jones it makes me just as happy as it hopefully does Brian in Denver and his buddy Todd.
Nice.
This is one he recorded in 1993. I was lucky enough to get an interview with Howard Jones for Coverville. We talked about covers and the fact that he doesn't do a lot of covers, and his big reason for that is that he won't cover songs that he doesn't personally and fundamentally agree with. So, you know, there that takes out like a whole swath of songs that maybe are out of his kind of namaste Zen approach to life. Mm. This one, though, this one fits right into it. It's a song originally done by Donald Fagen. He is the vocal half of Steely Dan. Also, sadly, now the living half of Steely Dan. It was a single he recorded in 1993 that Howard Jones recorded in 1993, a cover of IGY, which is International Geophysical Year, but just called IGY. What a beautiful world. Here is Howard Jones. Six.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Me love you long time.